This week on The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, we plow along in Proverbs 1 and 2, covering wisdom's warning cry, listen to her and dwell secure, the Lord gives wisdom, the benefits of wisdom, and deliverance from the wicked woman. Join me, Pastor Will Wheaton, for The Word of the Lord Endures Forever, your daily 15-minute verse-by-verse Bible study on demand. Listen at thewordendures.org or your favorite podcast provider.
Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us.
But if we confess our sins, God, who is faithful and just, will forgive our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness.
Let us then confess our sins to God our Father.
Most merciful God, we confess that we are by nature sinful and unclean. We have sinned against you in thought, word, and deed, by what we have done and by what we have left undone. We have not loved you with our whole heart. We have not loved our neighbor.
Father's mercy has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all your sins in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
And peace to his people on earth.
The Old Testament reading is from Ezekiel chapter 34. For thus says the Lord God, behold, I myself will search for my sheep and will seek them out. As a shepherd seeks out his flock when he is among his sheep that have been scattered, so will I seek out my sheep, and I will rescue them from all places where they have been scattered on the day of clouds and thick darkness. And I will bring them out from the peoples and gather them from the countries, and will bring them into their own land. And I will feed them on the mountains of Israel, by the ravines, and in all the inhabited places of the country. I will feed them with good pasture, and on the mountain heights of Israel shall be their grazing land. There they shall lie down in good grazing land, and on rich pasture they shall feed on the mountains of Israel. I myself will be the shepherd of my sheep, and I myself will make them lie down, declares the Lord God. I will seek the lost, and I will bring back the strayed, and I will bind up the injured, and I will strengthen the weak, and the fat and the strong I will destroy. I will feed them in justice. As for you, my flock, thus says the Lord God, behold, I judge between sheep and sheep, between rams and male goats. Is it not enough for you to feed on the good pasture, that you must tread down with your feet the rest of your pasture, and to drink of clear water, that you must muddy the rest of the water with your feet? And must my sheep eat what you have trodden with your feet, and drink what you have muddied with your feet? Therefore, thus says the Lord God to them, behold, I myself will judge between the fat sheep and the lean sheep. Because you push with side and shoulder and thrust at all the weak with your horns, till you have scattered them abroad. I will rescue my flock. They shall no longer be a prey, and I will judge between sheep and sheep. And I will set up over them one shepherd, my servant David, and he shall feed them. He shall feed them and be their shepherd. And I, the Lord, will be their God, and my servant David shall be prince among them. I am the Lord, I have spoken. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
According to St. Luke, the 15th chapter. Now the tax collectors and sinners were drawing near to hear Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." So he told them this parable. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the open country and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? When he has found it, he lays it on his shoulders, rejoicing. And when he comes home, he calls together his friends and his neighbors, saying to them, "Rejoice with me, for I have found my sheep that was lost." Just so, I tell you, there will be more joy in heaven over one sinner who repents than over 99 righteous persons who need no repentance. Or what woman, having 10 silver coins, if she loses one coin, does not light a lamp and sweep the house and seek diligently until she finds it? When she has found it, she calls together her friends and neighbors, saying, "Rejoice with me, for I have found the coin that I had lost." Just so, I tell you, there is joy before the angels of God over one sinner who repents. This is the gospel of the Lord.
In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit.
Amen.
As many of you know, my mother passed away a few weeks ago. I certainly want to express my sincere thanks for your prayers, your condolences, your well wishes. And as with the death of a loved one, the last few weeks for me have been filled with memories of my mother. One memory I have is that my mother often liked to use the phrase, "going home." When I was a child, my mother used this phrase to say that we were going to visit my grandparents on their farm in Illinois. And so the phrase was rather peculiar to me, because visiting strange relatives in another state did not really seem like going home at all. My home was in Indianapolis. And yet my mother always described my grandparents' house as home. However, toward the end of her life, the phrase "going home" took on a new meaning. My mother no longer used it to describe the place of her birth, but rather to express her desire to go to heaven and the life everlasting. Indeed, my mother's use of this phrase indicates that throughout her adult life, to one extent or another, she felt displaced. She knew that she was not yet where she belonged. She was not yet home. Indeed, this is what the word home means. Home is the place intended for us, prepared for us, designed for our dwelling. It is the place where our anxieties and distresses and insecurities all begin to fade away. It is the place of rest, where all is familiar, the place we know even as we are known. And so when are we going home? Dear friends, I suspect that many of you feel just a bit displaced, even unsettled, as we now begin this new academic year. And if so, then you can resonate, I think, with the tax collectors and the sinners and even Jesus himself in our text for today. Now, the tax collectors and sinners were all drawing near to hear Jesus, and the Pharisees and the scribes grumbled, saying, "This man receives sinners and eats with them." Here, St. Luke describes the stark contrast between tax collectors and Pharisees, between sinners and scribes. Both groups have heard Jesus' words. Both are reacting to the form of Jesus' ministry. Both are responding to Jesus' hospitality. And yet, how great is the difference in their reactions? The tax collectors and sinners are eager to draw near, while the Pharisees and scribes grumble. Why do they have such different reactions? Why such opposite responses? Dear friends, I think the reason is found in the character of Jesus' hospitality. From the beginning of Luke's gospel, Jesus has claimed that the Spirit is upon him so that he might proclaim the year of the Lord's hospitality. And yet Jesus' hospitality in Luke's gospel is strange and unexpected and controversial. You see, Jesus does not make his home in the temple. He does not establish his throne in Jerusalem. Nor does he seek to entertain Pharisees and Sadducees or the elite members of the Sanhedrin. Jesus' hospitality, rather, is established, for instance, at a table with Levi and his fellow tax collectors. His hospitality welcomes that sinful woman weeping at his feet. His hospitality calls Zacchaeus to descend from that tree and then makes a home within his house. In Jesus, the Lord's hospitality now becomes the hospitality of outcasts. And now in our text for today, Jesus' hospitality threatens to transcend every man-made boundary. What man of you, having 100 sheep, if he has lost one of them, does not leave the 99 in the wilderness and go after the one that is lost until he finds it? Dear friends, in these two parables, Jesus' hospitality does not just invite, it seeks. Jesus' hospitality does not merely welcome, it pursues. Jesus' hospitality does not simply receive, it intrudes. Jesus' hospitality will not be limited, therefore, to the synagogue, or restricted to Jerusalem, or confined to the temple. His love will seek the lost. Rejected in his hometown, Jesus will pursue the stranger. And ignored by his kinsmen, Jesus will then turn to the highways and the byways. Indeed, Jesus' hospitality in Luke's gospel will even cross the most permanent of all boundaries, for it will extend even into the darkness of death itself. Today, you will be with me in paradise. So Jesus says to that dying penitent on the cross with him. Jesus comes in the flesh. He endures death, even the shameful death of outcasts, so that he might extend his solidarity to all sinners, even unto the dead. And so for the Pharisees and the scribes, this hospitality of Jesus can only be seen as a threat. The Pharisees have no need of Jesus' hospitality. They already have their home. They are content with a temple of lesser glory made by human hands. They are content with Jerusalem and with their community synagogues where they have power and reputation and status. And content with such a home, the scribes and Pharisees will not seek the lost. They will not even receive the prodigal sinner when he returns, nor will they notice that beggar Lazarus who sits at their gate. Instead of seeking and pursuing and receiving, they will guard and they will protect and they will defend what belongs to them. And so their response to Jesus' manner of hospitality is to grumble. But the tax collectors and the sinners draw near. The tax collectors and sinners know something the Pharisees do not. They know what is perhaps the first of all truths. They are lost. They know that they are not home yet. They are displaced and unsettled, not yet where they belong. These tax collectors and sinners know that they are outcasts. They are exiles, pilgrims, and strangers with no abiding city in this world. And so for these outcasts, Jesus' hospitality is a lamp now shining in the darkness. It is an extended hand now pulling them out of the pit. It is a feast in the wilderness. It is after a long exile to finally return home. Home is where the heart is, so says that ancient proverb. But dear friends, we know that our true home is simply where Christ is. And so, dear friends, let us now draw near to Jesus. Let us join this fellowship of the outcasts. Let us join Abraham as he now forsakes his fatherland. Let us descend with Joseph into the pit. Let us gather with the tax collectors in Levi's house. Let us sit with that beggar Lazarus at the gate. Let us find a dwelling in the house of Zacchaeus. Let us enter paradise with that penitent thief. In other words, let us now find our home in the body of Jesus, the temple not made with human hands, in which all the glory of God dwells. Dear friends, here is the place where you belong. This is the place now prepared for you. Here there is more than the temporal happiness of any earthly table, even the happiness of Friday Gemütlichkeit. Here there is that eternal joy of heaven, the rejoicing of angels, even the delight of the Father. For the lost have been found, and the Son who was dead is alive again forevermore. To Christ be all the glory forever and ever.
Recalling how God has searched us out and rescued us in Christ, let us pray for the whole Church of God and for all people according to their needs. Merciful Lord, in your mercy you seek those who are lost. Strengthen your Church in her proclamation of the gospel, that the lost may hear the voice of their good shepherd and come to faith. Lord, in your mercy. God of power and might, continue to sustain the nations of the earth and lead them in the way of justice and truth. Send faithful rulers who will defend the life and liberty of every citizen. Bless our communities and neighborhoods, that both young and old may dwell in safety. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, watch over our college students as they meet new people and are exposed to new ideas. Keep them from the forces of evil, and lead them toward that which is true and noble and holy. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Gracious Lord, come to the aid of those who are in need, the sick and dying, the lonely and oppressed, the weak and the downtrodden. Grant them patience during their time of trial and faithfulness to trust in your promises. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
You welcome us, O Lord, to your banqueting table and invite us to feast on your Son for our salvation. Grant us repentant hearts that, filled with your Spirit, we may rejoice in the gift of your Son's body and blood and receive it to your glory and for our good. Lord, in your mercy.
Hear our prayer.
Into your hands, O Lord, we commend all for whom we pray, trusting in your mercy through your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord.
Amen. Amen. all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name, evermore praising you and saying, celebrate with all the faithful the marriage feast of the Lamb and his kingdom, which has no end. Graciously receive our prayers, deliver and preserve us. To you alone, O Father, be all glory, honor, and worship, with the Son and the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Our Lord Jesus Christ, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and gave it to the disciples and said, "Take, eat. This is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me." In the same way also he took the cup after supper, and when he had given thanks, he gave it to them, saying, "Drink of it, all of you. This cup is the New Testament in my blood, which is shed for you for the forgiveness of sins. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me." As often as we eat this bread and drink this cup, we proclaim the Lord's death until he comes.
Amen. Come, Lord Jesus.
O Lord Jesus Christ, only Son of the Father, in giving us your body and blood to eat and to drink, you lead us to remember and confess your holy cross and passion, your blessed death, your rest in the tomb, your resurrection from the dead, your ascension into heaven, and your coming for the final judgment. So remember us in your kingdom and teach us to pray.
Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.
The peace of the Lord be with you always.
Thank you.
Christ, strengthen and preserve you in body and soul and the life everlasting. Depart in peace.
Amen. Amen.
Let us pray. We give thanks to you, Almighty God, that you have refreshed us through this salutary gift, and we implore you that of your mercy you would strengthen us through the same in faith toward you and in fervent love toward one another. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look upon you with favor and give you peace.